I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation for the presence of each and every one this evening, and I'm very thankful to the elders and to the congregation here to come and speak to you this afternoon. And if you're visiting with us, then we want you to know that you're our honored and respected guests, and that we're certainly thankful that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to come and to be with us tonight. You know, the Church of Christ's goal is to only preach and teach those things that are in harmony with God's will, and that's what we're going to do tonight. And if you have any questions or we can help you in any way, then certainly we'd be happy to do so. But I appreciate very much the invitation to be with you, and we've got all of these new electronic gadgets now, and so I don't always preach from the pulpit. I kind of like being a little more personal here with you, and so you'll be able to see my outlines. I don't have to look at them anymore because they're all up there on the board. So hopefully you'll be able to follow along and see what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, what I want to begin with is to ask you a question. Have you ever known a promising young person, male or female, that had a great many opportunities in life and had a great opportunity to have a noble calling, and then threw all of that away because of some bad decisions? Well, tonight what we want to do is to look at Judas Iscariot. You might hear some about Peter or one of the other apostles, and yet there are some lessons to be learned from Judas. Now, most people look at Judas and they do that with disdain. And in fact, how many children have you ever heard named Judas? You know, we don't call our children Judas. We don't call them Pilate. You know, because of the things that happen. And in fact, the Lord Himself said one of the worst things that can be said about anyone concerning Judas. If you notice here in Matthew 26, it says, "Woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Now, could you say anything worse about an individual than to say it'd be better if they'd never been born, never lived? Now, what we want to do tonight is find out from Judas why the Lord would say such a horrible thing about him. This is the Son of God. This is the man who came to save the world, and he was a kind and generous person. Why would he say such a horrible thing about Judas? What did Judas do wrong? We know he betrayed the Lord. But I hope before the evening is over that you'll be sympathetic to Judas rather than look at him with scorn and disdain. Because I think that we can learn that Judas was a lot like many of us, and that he just made some mistakes in his life that went too far. That hopefully we can learn some lessons from Judas tonight. Now, first of all, we need to understand that he is the object of the world's scorn and shame. No one wants to call their son Judas. No one wants to have anything to do with him. He is an example of how not to live, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. You know, you can learn from both positive and negative living, and the Bible has both of those. Where there are many wonderful lessons that we can learn from the biblical characters. And so tonight what we want to look at is how not to live. And one of the lessons we want to emphasize is that it's not good enough to serve the Lord some of the time or even most of our life. Again, have you known a man or woman who was faithful most of their life and then for some reason later in life they chose to forsake the Lord? Are they okay with the Lord? We're going to look at Judas tonight here. We must serve the Lord faithfully until the day we die in order to be considered faithful by God. Now, what we want to do is ask the question here. You know, Judas sold his friend, his teacher, his master for a paltry handful of silver. And he purposely and deliberately sold the Lord, precipitating Christ's cruel death upon the cross. Why would he do such a thing? Now, there are two things we want you to think about tonight. Did he intentionally do those things? We know he, with purpose and deliberation, sold the Lord. Was that his goal? Was he a deliberate enemy of the Lord? Or did he consider Christ a friend, a teacher, and a companion? But he just made a mistake. We want to examine that from the Scriptures tonight. Now, first of all, we need to ask some questions about who Judas is. Now, he's unique in the apostles in that he was known as the man of Koreth. That's what Iscariot is here. He was from the town of Koreth. Now, we know that where were most of the apostles from? They were from Galilee. They were fishermen. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and many of the others. Judas was not from that background. He was from around Jerusalem. He was more, we would say, the city boy of the group here, if you were to look at that. Koreth was a small town close to Jerusalem. So his background was totally different from the other apostles. He was a disciple of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, he was a follower of Christ. Now, again, I ask you the question, does that mean that he deliberately became a disciple in order that he might betray the Lord? I don't think that's true. I think that he had a genuine desire to serve the Lord, and we see here that in the names of the apostles, he's always listed last. Here you have the names of the 12 apostles, and Judas Iscariot is always listed last because of the betrayal. But he was a disciple and an apostle of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, he had good qualities and capabilities that were recognized by Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ force him to be a disciple? He made the choice. He freely and willfully chose to serve the Lord. And the Lord allowed that. Okay? The Lord did not stop him because there was anything here. Judas was not a conscious and deliberate hypocrite. And the favor and the enthusiasm he displayed, I believe, was no sham. And that he was sincere in his desire to serve the Lord. Now again, let me ask you a question. Have you known people who seemed to be on fire for the Lord, who seemed, when they obeyed the gospel, to not be able to do enough? And then suddenly something comes along and they just quit and you can't get them back. Now, Judas had some mistakes and he made some serious decisions here that affected his relationship with the Lord. But I sincerely believe this statement. I don't believe that he was a conscious or deliberate hypocrite. And I don't believe that it was destiny that made him do what he did. I don't believe that it was because he had no choice. Some people take that point concerning Judas, that this was already prophesied that he was going to do this and that he had no choice in the matter. We always have a choice. God allows us to do the things that we choose to do. We are free moral agents. Now the question is, can God use us whether we do good or whether we do evil? Judas chose to go down the pathway that he chose here. But he was an apostle of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? He was one of the 12 chosen out of all the men on earth to be the ones who were going to carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now, we began the lesson by asking you a question. Did you know of some young person who had great potential and threw it away? What did Judas have within his grasp? This is the noblest calling that anyone could have had, to be an apostle of the Lord, to be one who would carry the gospel to the world for the first time. An apostle was entered into here by the devil. Now, what does that say to you and me? You know, is Harold Smith safe? Is Mike Harden safe? Is Mike safe? 10? Because they're elders, do the devil not tempt them? What does it say? Nobody's safe. We're in a battle. And Revelation says in chapter 20 that Satan is encircling the camp of the saints. That's who he's after, you and me. He's out to try to do what he can to destroy us, and we see the power of Satan here, that he could enter into an apostle. And the most noble religious privilege is powerless to save a man. Why is that? Because you have to do God's will. Just being an apostle didn't give you a one-way ticket to heaven. And Christ was betrayed by one who enjoyed the intimacy of His friendship. We think about, here's a man who ate with Christ, who slept with Christ, who traveled with Christ, who saw the miracles that He did, who saw all the wonderful things that He was able to accomplish in this life, who heard the marvelous teachings coming out of the mouth of Christ, and yet He could do something that caused Him to lose His soul. So there's a warning there for each and every one of us. You can't be overconfident. You can't believe that you've got it made here. Now notice this prophecy concerning Judas. It says, "For it was not an enemy who reproaches me, then could I bear it, nor was it one who hates me who exalted himself against me, then could I hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, who had sweet fellowship together." What's that saying? Who betrayed the Lord? One of His closest friends. You ever been in that position where a good friend betrayed you? How's it feel? Christ said it hurt even more because it was one of His familiar friends. But what else is there about Judas? He was a treasurer of the apostles. Now again, I ask you a question. Would this congregation take a member who had been here a week and say, "Okay, we're going to turn the treasury over to you and let you take care of it for us"? What does it mean that he was the treasurer of the apostles? Did they trust Judas in the beginning? Okay, absolutely. And here it says in John 12, 4 through 8, "Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was not this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone, lest she has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always.'" What was Judas' problem? Now, I've made the assertion that I believe he was genuine in being a follower of the Lord, that he wanted to be a disciple of the Lord. I believe he wanted to be an apostle. But what was his weakness? He loved money. He loved money. Do individuals ever carry their sins into service to God? We all do. You have a weakness? I do. Satan knows what that is, and he works on it. Did he know what Judas' weakness was? The message here for each one of us is what? I've got to work on those weaknesses. I've got to overcome those weaknesses or they can destroy me. And this says that Judas was the treasurer, and that when this woman poured out the fragrant oil on the Lord, he was upset. Not because the money couldn't be given to the poor, but what? Because it wasn't put in the treasury where he could dip out a little portion. Now, you think he was taking all the money? Probably not. I'll put this back. I'll just take a little bit here and I'll put it back. But he was the treasurer here. He had a position of trust and confidence. And the disciples and even the Lord had faith in his honesty. No one ever believed until it came to light that Judas was a thief here. He had economical habits of aptitude for finance, a love of bargaining. What are these? These are all qualities of the love of money. Judas' sin was the love of money. And he didn't overcome that when he came to the Lord. Judas did not leave all to follow the Lord. That's what we say. Why do we say that? Because you can't continue to do things that are sinful because you're opening the door for Satan. He didn't leave all to follow the Lord. The love of money had been in his heart from earlier days. He did not just suddenly develop this desire to steal here. If Judas had followed the Lord fully, he might have had the noblest life. But what did he do? He took his sin with him into the service of the Lord. Now, Judas carried the money box, and so he took advantage of his position because he was a thief. Now, here's an important point. Who's he stealing from? Now, I might steal from Mike up here, and he might never know it. But could I steal from the Son of God and him not know it? Did he see Christ read people's minds? So what made him think that he could dip into the treasury and the Lord not know it? Because that's what sin does. What does it do? It lulls me to sleep. It makes me think I'm getting away with it. The man who's unfaithful to his wife, does he ever think anyone's going to find out or anyone's going to know? You know, the one who's embezzling the funds at work, he thinks he's going to get away with it. Somehow Judas thought here that he had hidden this from the Lord. But that's what sin does. It blinds us to the truth and makes us think that we're going to get away with it. Now let's look at the role that Satan played in Judas' life. John 6 says, Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Now, this passage gives some people problems. Did that mean that Judas was, again, a deliberate individual who was chosen to betray the Lord? Or did it mean that Christ knew what he was going to do, but that Judas had free choice just like everyone else? I'm going to try to prove that latter point, that he had the choice, that he could have done what was right. And in fact, I believe that Jesus Christ, the night that he was betrayed, gave Judas one last chance. And we're going to try to prove that to you. But this is a true statement. Judas was a devil. Why? Because he allowed the devil to take control of his life. Did the devil make him do anything against his will? Can he make you do wrong? Let's look at another passage. John 13 says, "And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So the devil put it in his heart. How did he do that? Well, I believe that Judas thought he was going to get away with something here and that no one was going to get hurt. You ever heard that? That you can do something and nobody's going to get hurt, nobody's going to know. Notice one more passage. John 13:27 says, "Satan entered in to him, and Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" Now, all three of those passages say Satan had a role or had a part in what Judas did. The question is, what part did he play? Well, let's look at this. Judas had sold his soul to the devil through ambition and greed. Now, what's greed? Can't have enough. So you want more. Now, how do we know that? Well, Judas cunningly watch for a fitting opportunity to sell out the Lord. Notice this reading. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Okay, now let's look at the history of this just a little bit. How did the scribes, Pharisees, and the leaders of Israel feel about Jesus Christ? They hated him. They were envious of him. And what did they want? They wanted him put to death. They wanted to eliminate him from their life. Why didn't they just go and arrest him and put him to death? Because he was loved by the people. The people had seen the miracles. They'd heard the teaching. And when he came into Jerusalem, what did they do? They gave him the type of entry that a conquering hero would have got. What'd they do? They took their clothes off their back and laid them down. They took palm leaves and laid them down in the street so that he could ride through like a conquering hero. The people loved Christ. And so the religious leaders were politicians of what? They didn't want to make the people angry. So what did they need? They needed someone who could tell them where the Lord was in a secret place so that they could arrest him and have him put to death before anyone could do anything about it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to arrest him in the middle of the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is an olive grove where no one's going to be around. They're going to try him in the middle of the night at the house of Caiaphas. They're going to take him to Pilate. And they're going to have him on the cross by 9 o'clock the next morning. No one even knew what had happened. All of his followers, it was too late. And what did they say? "We didn't do it. The Romans did it." Why do you think they took him to Pilate? They didn't want his blood on their hands. And you know that in the times that I've been over there, the guides still today will say, "We didn't kill him, the Romans did." And that's exactly what they wanted to do. But what did they need in order to accomplish their evil plan here? They needed an insider to tell them when Christ would be all alone. Now, did Judas know what they wanted? He'd been with the Lord. But what had he seen the Lord do? He'd seen him raise the dead. He'd seen him escape out of the crowds. I can't read the mind of Judas, but I sincerely believe that what he thought was that he could get some easy money from the Jewish leadership and nobody would get hurt. That what would happen here is that he would tell them where the Lord is, they would go to arrest him, and that Christ would just disappear out of the crowd, or that he would somehow miraculously escape, and then he's got the money and nobody's going to get hurt. Ever had one of your teenagers say, "Nobody's going to get hurt. Nothing bad's going to happen"? Judas, I believe, thought he was taking advantage of the Jewish leadership, not betraying the Lord. Now let's look at this. It says, he promised and sought opportunity to betray him, what? In the absence of the multitude. What do they want? Sometime when Jesus is all alone. It had to be one of his disciples that would know that it was his custom when he was in Jerusalem to do what? To go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Because this is an olive grove where no one would be, and it was a quiet place where he could go and pray. Only his disciples would have known that. Jesus gave Judas one last opportunity to repent. Now, if it was destiny, if it was beyond Judas' control, if he had no choice in the matter, then John, the 13th chapter, is a meaningless chapter. Notice what's said here. John 13. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask him who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said, "Lord, who is it?" Now what's Jesus doing here? He's at the Last Supper, the Passover feast here, and he says, "One of you this night is going to betray me." Peter asked John, we believe here, "Well, tell the Lord to tell us who it is." Now notice the rest of this. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the piece of bread, Satan entered to him. And then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Why did the Lord say that? Could it be any plainer? The one I hand the piece of bread to, he's the one that's going to betray me. But now notice the rest of this. Did any of the other disciples understand what's going on? Not a one of them. Look at this. It says, "But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus said to him, 'Buy those things we need for the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor. And having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was not." Now, if Jesus Christ looks you in the face and says, "Don't do what you're about to do," could you go ahead and do it? That's what you have here. Christ loved Judas. He was giving him one last chance to back out. Why didn't Judas do it? Because sin is strong. Judas still believed. It said what? Satan entered into his heart. What did Satan say to him? "Nobody's going to get hurt. You're going to get money. Jesus will escape." We don't know what he said. But whatever it was, Judas believed he still had to go through with what he had made. Maybe he believed that, "Well, I've made a promise. I've got to keep it." But I don't believe he ever thought that Christ would be put to death. But here's the lesson. Don't trifle with sin. When you start fooling with sin, when you allow sin to stay in your life, it's going to get a powerful hold. And Judas could look Jesus Christ in the face when he said, "I know what you're about to do." Of course, Christ knew he probably wasn't going to back out because he said, "What you do, do quickly." But this was for one person. The other disciples had no idea what was going on. It was for Judas to get him to back out and not do what he was about to do. And of course, the betrayal was what? With a kiss. A sign of affection, a sign of companionship. And he used his relationship with the Lord. The other men, what? They didn't know what Jesus Christ looked like. They couldn't find him here in the dark. You know, this is an olive grove. They didn't have street lights like we have today. So again, it had to be someone who knew the Lord and knew how to identify him. And he did that with a kiss. As Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders to the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one who sees him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why are you come?" And then they came and laid hold on Jesus and took him. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, we're going to tell you the rest of the story here. Judas realizes he's done wrong. Now, this is where hopefully you'll be sympathetic with Judas. I think he was a genuine disciple. I think he loved being an apostle, but I think he never removed his love of money out of his life. Notice he was sorrowful. Why do people do all the horrible things that they do? Why do we have war? Why do we have murders every night? You know, it's for money. Judas tries to return the money. Now notice here. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and to the elders. Now wait a minute. If he deliberately wanted Christ put to death, if he intentionally had done this so Christ would be put to death, why would he be sorrowful? What's he sorrowful for? Because now he knows that Christ is not going to escape and that in fact he's going to be put to death. It says when he saw that he was condemned, what? He brings back the 30 pieces of silver and he wants to return it. Can you always undo those horrible deeds? He wants them to release Christ. He's brought back the money. And what does he say? "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." He didn't say he got what he deserved. He didn't say, "This is what I intended." What did he say? "I've sinned. This is not what I intended. I only thought to make some easy money here. I certainly didn't want my friend, my master, my companion to be put to death." But what did the Jews say? "We don't care. We got what we want, so we don't care about your conscience. We don't care that you're remorseful." It says, "What is that to us? You see to that." They got exactly what they wanted, and they cared nothing about Judas. Judas did not do that which would make things right between himself and God. He went to the wrong place for comfort. Now let me ask you a question. If Judas had gone to Jesus Christ and said, "Master, I've sinned, please forgive me," would he have gotten the same answer? "You see to that"? What did he do? He went to the wrong place for comfort. He went back to his co-conspirators and what? They didn't care. In fact, they're very hypocritical because what do they say? "This is blood money. We're not going to put it back in the treasury," because what does Judas do? When he can't give the money back, he throws it down in the temple and they say, "We can't put this money back in the treasury." So what do? They go out and buy a field to bury homeless people in. Who had given Judas the money? But see, it wasn't blood money when they gave it. It was only blood money when Judas took it. You're not going to find comfort from the brewers. You're not going to find comfort from the drug dealers. You're not going to find comfort out there with people who want to do wrong. There's only one place of comfort. There's only one place that you can get the forgiveness of your sins. And you've got to come to the Lord. You've got to do what's right. You've got to serve the Lord. And that's where the comfort will come. It says, "He went and threw the piece of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself." Why did he do that? Because he couldn't live with the thought that he had betrayed his master. He couldn't find any comfort. So it wasn't deliberate. He just thought he was going to make some easy money here and nobody's going to get hurt. The Lord would escape. But that didn't happen. Look at this. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in the book of Acts. A lot of people don't realize it, but notice what happened to Judas. Now, this man acquired a field by the price of his wickedness. What does that mean? They took the money and bought a field to bury strangers in. And notice the rest. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and his intestines gushed out. Now, if you'd have found someone who had hanged himself, what would you do? No one cut Judas down. What this says is that he hung so long out there that the rope got rotten, and when he fell to the ground, his body was rotten and burst into pieces. No one would even go out and cut Judas down here. So I say, poor Judas. Why? He lost Christ. He lost his fellow apostles. What happened to the money? He even lost the 30 pieces of silver. He lost his life. And of course, we're not the judge, but he may have lost his soul because he didn't go back to make himself right with the Lord. He killed himself and maybe heaven. Some lessons. Be content with what you have. Greed and the love of money can destroy a lot of people. Greed will bring destruction. Be a friend at all times. Now, what's the purpose of the church? Why did the Lord design that we have a body like this? Because we're all perfect? Or because we all have faults and we need one another? Judas had no one that he felt he could go to for help. Hopefully that's not true of any congregation of the Lord here on earth. That we're all going to be there to support and encourage one another and build each other up and help one another. Judas needed a friend and there wasn't any. We need to be there because what? We all have weaknesses and the Satan is working constantly. And so we're here to do what? To teach one another and build up one another and support one another and to be there to encourage one another. And when we fall, we can't give up. What we got to do, we got to repent and ask God for forgiveness and return to righteousness. Judas didn't go back to the Lord. He went to his co-conspirators and they said, "We don't care." Jesus would not have said that. When we make our mistakes, we've got to repent and turn to God. Sin-laden men and women need to realize the price of sin. It's always more than we're willing to pay. If you're here tonight, what's your condition before God? You can have the noblest life. You can be a child of God. That's as noble as being an apostle of the Lord. To be a part of the family of God. And if you are a member of the family of God and you've got some kind of sin in your life that you're not taking care of, that you're not trying to overcome, then you need to ask for God's help. You need to come to the Lord and ask Him to help you overcome this. You need to come to the elders and ask for their guidance and their direction. You need to have a friend in this congregation that's willing to help you. And if we can help you tonight to get your life right with God, whatever your condition, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.